Today's episode of the Locked On Phillies podcast is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to builtbar.com, use the promo code Locked On, and you'll get 20% off your next order. How's it going, everyone? Welcome to another episode of the Locked On Phillies podcast. I am your host, former Temple University graduate and longtime Philadelphia Phillies fan, Dan Wilson. And on today's episode, a very special guest from those of you active in the Phillies Twitter community, Baseballin, as she goes by, and she is a fellow Seinfeldian like me. And for those of you familiar with Seinfeld or just pop culture in general, you may know that today, December 23rd, is indeed Festivus. And what do we do on Festivus? Well, of course, as Frank Costanza told us all, we air the grievances. You get the poll. You do everything. It's not about Christmas. It's not about anything festive. It's called Festivus, but it's about being the anti-Christmas and people who are minimalists and just really need to get some aggravation out. And look, the holiday seasons are great. I understand there are people you want to see and you want to be nice, but you have grievances with everyone. You have grievances with everything. And the Philadelphia Phillies are certainly no exception. So on today's episode, we each composed a list, the top five grievances we have with the Philadelphia Phillies. And believe me, there's many more than that. It went everything from in-stadium during the game rituals to physical moves they've made and everything in between. Great to talk to baseball. And so I will now present to you our conversation where we air the grievances with the Philadelphia Phillies here on 2020 Festivus.
Joining us on the Locked On Phillies podcast today, you know them from Twitter. It is Baseballin. Baseballin, how are you doing today?
Hi, Dan. I'm good. Thank you for having me and happy Festivus.
Happy Festivus to you. And because it is Festivus, first of all, I hope you have your poll all ready to go. But we are going, the Philadelphia Phillies have a lot of things. They produce a lot of anxiety for people around the Delaware Valley, understandably so, bad bullpen, et cetera. So we both are going to air some grievances here on the show today. So we both have our grievances. I will let you as the guest do the honors first. We will go back and forth listing our five grievances. It's very possible and very likely actually that we will have some mutual grievances here or some things that overlap. So as we find mutual things, we will bond over said grievances. And of course, then we'll get to the feats of strength and all the other Festivus proceedings here on Festivus 2020. So without further ado, go ahead. What is your first grievance with the Philadelphia Phillies?
I mean, shocking, but I think you kind of stole my thunder there with the bullpen. I don't know. It's all caps, all obviously the biggest problem of 2020, the most frustrating. And like you said, the most anxiety producing. I mean, does it get any worse than what we watched this year? It really doesn't.
No, it was 60 games and it felt it felt like 162 game season and in the
it
worst
felt
way.
Longer than 162.
Yeah, and it was only 60 games and in the worst way. And they managed, like, they literally expanded the playoff. Major League Baseball was inviting, was like making it impossible for them to miss. And they still managed to do it. It was awful.
And I keep saying too, right? Because I keep saying, you know, it's been what, almost 10 years now since the Phillies have been to the playoffs. I'm like, oh, can't wait until we can go back. And this year I was like, oh, well, the irony that we're going to go to the playoffs, but no fans can actually go. But joke was on me with that one because I was not.
They can't even make it. No, literally can't even. And they would have, it wouldn't have been at Citizens Bank Park. They would have been in Dodger Stadium, gotten swept in two games so fast, but still they couldn't even make that. Like, they literally needed to win one more game. Couldn't do it.
I know. And at that point, I mean, I hate to root against them, but do you even want to see the Dodgers against the Phillies bullpen?
It would have been ugly. Getting the playoff spot would have been cool. I had made the argument on this very show that it actually might have been better that they missed, because if it gave any sliver of hope that, like, Klintak had done a good job at the deadline or something, that would have been absolutely awful. Like, right. If that didn't lead, and we can get maybe more into, I don't know if you have any Dave Dombrowski related things on your list, or we can just talk about it anyway. But whether you like him or not, this is certainly an upgrade over what they were doing. If they just kept everything the same, like, that wouldn't have been worth it. to lose two games in a round of 16 to the Dodgers, be like, yeah, we'll run it back next year. No, that would not have worked.
No, fans would have exploded.
Yes, absolutely.
They were calling for front office heads on a stick.
Yes, absolutely. So the bullpen, I tried to keep my grievances to all things that have bothered me or continue to bother me in the last year. The first thing that I'm going to go to is something that that happened this offseason, bringing back Vince Velasquez. Do we need to see more of this guy? Like, I would rather take someone out of the stands, section 327, seat 24, row 8, seat 24. You are in to pitch every fifth day. We have seen Vince Velasquez pitch how many times? The guy always throws 5 innings, 100 pitches. You know what you're getting. He's going to go back out for that inning. He's going to stay in too long. It's awful. No one enjoys it. It's just so infuriating.
It's over.
It's infuriating. Like, no one likes the guy. Like, literally, like, he seems like a great person. And I don't want to sour on him as a person. But everyone's going to really, if they haven't already, learn to just hate the guy. Because it doesn't work. They claim that they're serious about winning right now. You have the primes of Bryce Harper right now, Alec Boehm, Aaron Nola, and you're wasting it by rolling him out every fifth day.
No, you're right. There, we do have so many bright spots, and then there are just these guys.
Oh, that's such a damper. Yeah.
And you know what? You could be back here doing the same exact show next year, talking about him again.
I have a strong suspicion we will be. Like, they're like, all right, this is the year. You know, they're not going to tender him again. Like, they'll just cut ties. They're going to go somewhere else. They'll sign some, you know, mediocre veteran. They'll do the Cole Hamels reunion. He'll be so mediocre by July, and we'll be like, this guy is.
But it's a homecoming, so.
But it's a homecoming, and then, like, we're like, okay. So it'd be cool for a little bit. We'd sour on him, too, likely. But Vince Velasquez, you're going to be, you know, everyone's going to be soured on by the end of spring training. We're going to have to hear in February how, you know, this is the year he takes a big step and how he's in the best shape of his career. Like, every year, it's the same script every year. It's just the definition of insanity is trying the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. And look no further than Vince Velasquez. I'm a perfect example of that.
That's what we do. It's true.
Exactly what we do.
I was at that 16K game, which was, I mean, what year was that? 2017. How long? I can't even remember anymore.
That, you know, that's almost bringing up that one game is almost.
But more. How rare was that? You saw that and you know.
No, but a little bit.
And now it's so over.
He was clinging to that one game for how long? Like, you know, it's like how, you know.
As fans, I think we were too for a little while.
Went much too long. Like, if to draw an Eagles comparison to it now, it's like Jake Elliott was clinging off that 62-yard kick against the Giants for how long?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people are going to cling to Carson Wentz's 2017 for how long? Like, you can only go for the highlight can only circulate so many times. And I don't know if it's like a social media internet thing we live in now where it's like, oh, like, you know, get hype for this. And then you just like cut the tape. The guy's not good. Like, he's got good stuff. They've never really committed to like trying the bullpen thing. We get it. He wants to be a starter. He's competitive. He's a freak athlete. He's a better left fielder than he is like every day
fifth
starter. So if you want to keep him around to do that, but trotting him out as a pitcher makes virtually no sense. So that's my first grievance. I'll send it over to you for number two.
That's a good one. He was on my list too. I completely agree with that. Let's see here. Another thing I have on my list. Oh my God. Should I throw it to the front office?
And I go right ahead. Just complain away.
I mean, you know, let's see here. We have this billionaire owner who I just, you know, has been absolutely getting pummeled by fans and media this year, just because I feel like we just got to take the mic away from him. We need him to stop making comments and just kind of, you know, burying himself in the sand there and just digging a deeper hole for everything he says. But, you know, JT was such a bright spot this season and last year as well. Like, was there almost anything more exciting this year than watching JT play baseball and carrying this team for, you know, a good amount of the season? And then to come out and just say, yeah, we don't really have the funds to re-sign him.
Well, perhaps no one has been hit by this pandemic harder than Major League Baseball owners. I think we can all agree on that. Because, you know, because they didn't get their TV, or they got the TV revenue. They didn't get their full TV revenue over the course of a season. They didn't get their in-person concessions revenue. They had to lay people off the day before Thanksgiving. Like, it's amazing because obviously people who own like professional sports teams, like did something to get into that position of power. Some people, you know, obviously inherit money and there's a wealth gap and there's opportunity gap, whatever. And whether they deserve to be where they are is, you know, anyone could debate, right? But they had to do something intelligently, like good business decisions, or maybe it was just screwing someone over to getting where they are. And yet to be so out of touch at the exact same time, like when you speak, when dealing with people, when firing the average Joe, so to speak, like it blows my mind. And Middleton's not the only one who does it. Like there's a lot of sports owners who are just flat out of touch. You know, I think Jeff Lurie is a relatively, like if you lined up all the billionaires in the world, I think he's a relatively with it one. Someone like Mark Cuban obviously is made controversial comments, but I think he's also relatively with it, up to date on stuff. But then some of these guys, John Middleton, Josh Harris, the list goes on and on, are just in their own world and have no idea that what they say or what they do has ramifications beyond the billionaire community.
Even remember, I mean, we were on ESPN. It was definitely like a for television moment. Some Sunday night baseball game when Middleton went down, the Fandemic crew was
out. Oh yeah, he
that they was have that massive sign, JT sign that they bring to every single game. And he went down and signed autographs and, you know, was a man of the people for 5-10 minutes there.
Oh, entirely planted. Look, I mean, it's cool that he did it. They got a lot of attention this year, obviously.
Yeah.
It was a cool story, but entirely planted for national TV. And he, and someone was like, hey, you'll get, you know, pretty cool exposure. You'll seem like a cool guy if you go do this. Ah, hope to go do it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But then
bring some free merch.
You know, Andy McPhail says who would want to uproot during a pandemic. It turned out not to be true, but it's just like, who can say stuff?
How did
like
I
that?
Not even put that? I didn't even put that comment on my list. I can't believe I forgot that. As
it's her, I let it go just because they didn't really follow it. Like it was a ridiculous
That's
thing.
True.
It was a ridiculous thing to say at the time, but it turned out to be total BS. Good for them, whatever.
Yeah.
My second thing, and this is something that's just like gone on forever. Dan Baker, incredible PA guy. I get he wants to be down on the field. When you're at Citizens Bank Park, that first batter, I believe it's Scott Palmer who does the first batter or someone else. He's fine. I have no issue with him, but it's always so weird to have Dan Baker for the entire game, except for that opening. Like you're all ready to go and he just doesn't do it. And it's always like every time, like me or whoever I'm with, it's always weird and it's always annoyed me way more than it should.
This is the funniest grievance.
I have a few funny ones on here.
Okay. But, yeah. So basically it just bothers you that he doesn't announce the first batter.
Yes. Like I feel like everyone's all revved up, ready to go. And I get that he wants to be on the, I've actually never heard like a good explanation for it. And maybe there is one. And again, this is not anything like there were some times, I believe this year where he was out due to health reasons, which obviously, you know, take all the precautions you need. And right. That's not any knock on Scott Palmer, but Dan Baker, elite PA guy, especially how he says like JT Real Muto or like any abbreviated name, right? Especially with an, like in during, I remember being at playoff games. If someone on an opposing team comes up with an initialed name, like an initialed first name, he's dragging that out so long, especially if the guy's disliked and just let the booze pour in as he does it. It's great.
Yeah,
we actually have multiple elite PA guys in the city. Him, Matt Cord with the Sixers, Lou Nolan with the Flyers. But like, imagine if Matt Cord was there and just like didn't do like the first basket or like the starting lineups. Like he does the starting lineups on the field, and then there's just like no one, and it's always weird. And I've always wanted an explanation for it. Can't even get one.
You have to like figure out a way around it, right? If he wants to be on the field, then maybe they just pre-record his first batter.
But you know who the first batter is going to be.
Yeah.
The only time, sometimes they will make exceptions, like Jimmy Rollins led off in his return, and I think he did it from the field, like intentionally.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very nitpicky grievance. I just always never really understood why it happens. But again, maybe he just wants to be on the field and he just sacrifices the first batter. But I had to get creative here because I have some other grievances lumped together.
Okay, I see. That's a good one. I never even thought of that.
All right, so grievance number three for you.
Okay. All right, I'm going to realign with the strike episode for a second here. So in the episode, you know how Jerry's dating that girl and he only thinks she, you know, is pretty in that back booth. And then in other lighting, he's completely spooked out by her, right? She's two-faced.
Sure, absolutely.
They say. That's Aaron Nola for me.
He's not good looking in September.
For most of the year is that girl in the back booth. And then in that bad lighting, Aaron Nola is pitching in September.
That's a good one, because the Aaron Nola collapsing in September thing is something that I don't even feel like gets enough attention. Perhaps because just like everything, like all the wheels fall apart. Like the team's been horrible. The bats forget how to hit. And it doesn't even matter if it's 162 game season or 60. Apparently something about the month of September and the Phillies just do not clash recently, right?
They completely psych out. It's
insane. And it used to be, you know, in the era that, you know, we grew up and watching Phillies baseball, we were just totally spoiled of like, wow, this is what the Phillies do in September. They come back ridiculous, like seven down, 17 left to play against the Mets. And this team can do anything. No. This team is horrible in September now, or the franchise is horrible in September. And Aaron Nola, like one of the main staples of this team, you think pretty consistent, gets that ace label thrown around a lot. Dude, down the stretch, you got like, you can't just fall apart. Like he's not, I think his ERA the past two Septembers is like 4.71. I could be totally off there, but I think it's something along those lines, which is a full run higher than the rest of the season.
The rest of the year.
Yeah, the back booth thing is interesting too, because he spends a good amount of time in that back booth, but just leaves it a little too early.
Yeah, no, it's exactly. It's so true. It's like, you're right, because he is one of the most stable guys on the team. Even if you're not a big Phillies fan, if you're going to a game, if you have an Aaron Nola start, you can be pretty confident that you're going to see, you know, a fantastic outing, a good game, as long as the bats back him up. Is basically, for the most part, the only problem throughout the year with Aaron Nola is that he just, you know, the team can't get runs for him. But then in September, it just is completely opposite. It totally collapses. And he's like the shell of what we see for most of the year.
No, it's insane. It frankly just has to change. Like he can't fault, like the team isn't deep enough, or at least it hasn't been deep enough, where they can rely on their depth to get him over the hump. You can't be expecting big starts from Vince Velasquez. I think it was 2 years ago where Aaron Nola literally lost five or six of his final outings. I'm not a big like win loss pitching record, but the Phillies like can't afford to not pull out those games. Because you're not going to pull out the other ones. It's just not statistically in the cards, especially if you're coming from behind. Again, they needed one more win in the final week this year, couldn't get it. Things like him falling off, Bryce Harper can't afford to like, you know, have a cold stretch at the end of the season. It's just bad timing, and it frankly can't happen.
Yeah, no, completely.
Okay, so my third grievance, it kind of speaks to that depth. Not offering a qualifying offer to DV Gregorius, and I guess I shouldn't be surprised because the Phillies can't afford anything during a pandemic, and whether they reassign that money to JT Realmuto or elsewhere, everyone get ready for Scott Kingery playing 162 games. I guess
both of those are on my grievances.
So I don't know if Gene Segura is planning on moving back to shortstop, aging, whatever, like the defense is going to get even worse. You're already starting Alec Bohm at third, which I get, the guy can hit, but he's not known for his defense. You're starting Rhys Hoskins at first. Whether they bring Realmuto back or not, still in question, but does not appear like Didi Gregorius will be here. It only made too much sense. He could get him for one more year. The guy's been a streaky hitter across his career, was good for you this year. He's good in a stadium with short porches. He can take advantage of it. And also one of your top prospects in the organization is Bryson Stott, who literally could just come up next year as a shortstop. There's a monster shortstop class coming out in free agency next year. You know that he's not going to want to sign less than a 2 or 3 year deal to get past that with any team. Again, he's coming off a good year. It would have been an estimated 5 or 6 more million just for the one season. And you know what? If he's not that great, he's not that great, but at least you have another option. Like literally right now, as we sit here on Festivus 2020, And I know they just put a president and a general manager in place, but we're lining up for tons of Scott Kingery at bats. And to put it bluntly, he was like the worst player in baseball this year.
It's horrible. It was
like really, really bad. And I know they got out in front, they signed him to the contract, and I would like to believe in Scott Kingery, but I don't. And it's organizational malpractice if you're just like, yeah, we're banking on him being good all season.
I think that's the reason we all want to believe in him, is because we all know he has that contract. But I totally agree. Didi was on my list as well. Not only the fact that, you know, he's a reliable hitter for the most part, but I also just think he's kind of a good dude. He seems like he has
awesome dude
energy and could be, you know, really positive in that clubhouse around all the other players and the younger guys. And I don't know, if anything, he feels like just a good person to keep around for clubhouse morale.
Yeah. You know, for a sport that often receives complaints that it lacks personality, people who maybe struggle to get into this team. I mean, I don't think this Phillies team in terms of its stars necessarily lacks personality. Just with Bryce, you have McCutchen, who obviously, you know, everyone likes. I don't think someone like Nola, you know, really brings it. One of my grievances that I did not put on here, Aaron Nola's acting, and I think it's a Giant commercial, is just so, it's like painfully bad.
Wait, is that the Phil Abundance one?
Or sorry, Phil Abundance is not Giant. Like Aaron Nola's act, dude. Like,
it's so painful.
Take a lesson, dude. Like raise your voice just a little bit. Like, I don't think he has it in him.
There's no enthusiasm.
I just feel bad. He's like, I donate to you. Like, did you really donate? Like, I can't even tell. I think they had to give him the teleprompter like 10 times. They're like, all right, read it a little bit. Like, dude, get excited.
More of my conversation with Baseballin', where we air the rest of our grievances and continue our discussion about the Philadelphia Phillies and everything that's good, bad, and that, of course, annoys us, coming right up. But first, I want to tell you about Bet Online. Are we ready for some football? College football, we're heading into bowl season. We got some big matchups this weekend. The NFL regular season, week 16, ahead of us. 2 more weeks, the playoff picture is becoming clearer, and there's only one place that has you covered, and one place we here at Locked On trust. It's betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag. Use that promo code Locked On for your 50% welcome bonus. And there's a lot to bet on. Tonight, Sixers opening up against the Wizards, favored by 7.5. Eagles versus Dallas, still in the playoff hunt. They're favored by 2.5. Again, college football, we're headed into bowl season. College football playoff coming up on New Year's. NBA season getting underway. NHL season going to get underway in January. Don't sit on the sidelines. Make sure you get a piece of the action with betonline.ag. Again, use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Hey, what's up, everyone? Dan Wilson here from the Locked On Phillies podcast, and I want to tell you about my friends at Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. They have new and improved flavors, 6 new ones to be exact: caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, apple almond crisp. I highly recommend the cookies and cream. I eat them all the time. Of course, they got their 12 original flavors, and bars are covered in 100% chocolate, and they're soft and easy to chew. But that's not even the best part. The best part about these things, Built Bars are healthy. They're great for the health-conscious guy or girl. They'll help you lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Bars are low calorie, low in sugar, high in protein, high in fiber. Great for anyone on a diet. Go to BuiltBar.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get 20% off your next order. Again, use the promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. Hey, what's up, everyone? Dan Wilson here again from the Locked On Phillies podcast. And look, the holidays, They're all about giving. So I'm giving you a hot tip that could earn you some extra cash. The new Locked On Bets podcast is hosted by Lee Sterling of ParamountSports.com. Lee is red hot to start the season, and he shares the lock of the day on every single episode. Subscribe to Locked On Bets today, wherever you get your podcasts.
That's a good one. You should have wrote that one down.
I absolutely should have. And I just thought of it. I don't want to get nitpicky with Aaron Nola. It's obviously way more important that he pitches well in September than, you know, be enthusiastic in a Phil Abundance commercial. Maybe they should just pick someone else. Like McCutcheon would knock that, you know, commercial out of the park, but instead they picked.
Exactly. There'd be like, some wit behind it and everything too.
I mean, is Aaron Nola even fun at parties, or does he just like sit there in the corner and like, go become really boring?
He seems like a pretty serious dude, but you never know.
He seems like somewhat laid back and relaxed, and he's got that Southern vibe to him. He's obviously got like the Louisiana accent thing going, but holy, like I don't think he could get like would even get energized for anything. Is there anything he would get excited about?
Maybe playoffs. We just don't know yet.
I would like to think. All right. So that's an added grievance. I just thought of. I'll send it to you for number four.
Okay. Let's see here. Well, I guess you had that grievance about Dan Baker. I have on here the letting go of Greg Murphy. I know.
Yeah, it was technically NBC Sports Philadelphia.
I correct. Correct.
So we should amend that. And not that this makes it any better.
But I think it will.
The Phillies did cut Jim Jackson. That was a Phillies move, from what I understand.
I think like his absence will be noticeable next year. You know, and of course it's probably not the perfect Phillies grievance, because you're right, it's not the Phillies' fault. But there is something so enjoyable about Greg Murphy just kind of, you know, doing his little one-off minute with Murphs, or just talking to the fans in the stands and stuff, especially when things are bad during the season and the team is blowing whatever number lead they're finding.
I'll never forget. It was I want to say Tom McCarthy's son was graduating or something. It was 4 or 5 years ago. Forget what the reason was why he was out. But they were playing a road game in Arizona, and they're losing bad, like 9-1. And Murph is calling the game. And I was sitting there. I can't justify why I was still up watching this thing. Like there was absolutely no shot they were coming back. The bats had no life all night. They had 3 hits. It's probably a Vince Velasquez start. He was horrible. All thing was bad, right? And the team, it was like late in the season, like July, August. And Greg Murphy was like basically keeping me entertained. I mean, that's really where you learn, or where you like earn your money as a broadcaster. Anyone can keep you entertained during like a good game, but during a bad game, like if it's a blowout like that, like it's 162 games, it's an absolute marathon of a season. There's going to be clunkers like that. And especially when the team's bad. So I was basically just like up listening to him, and that's what made it interesting. And McCarthy's great, obviously. And it sucks that Murph's not going to be back. And again, it wasn't him, and not that it makes it any better, but NBC Sports, like regional network, has basically been cutting that sideline position like across the board pretty largely. So, you know, we're not the only fan base that is seeing it. The Sixers cut Serena Winters. Chris Therrien got cut from pregame for the Flyers yesterday. And I know it happened in other markets, but yeah, that does suck. And it's, again, it's the argument, what, NBC or Comcast or that ownership group like can't afford to keep these people on board during a pandemic? Like, really?
Yeah, I mean, I totally get it. You know, there's obviously layoffs across the country everywhere right now, but just for us, you know, watching at home on TV, I think it kind of sucks to lose Greg Murphy.
Absolutely. Okay, so here, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, I thought this was something that you had tweeted about. What is your thoughts, before I get to this fourth one, on the Phillies, like, are you a fan of them playing High Hopes after a Phillies win?
Oh, no.
No, it's not a grievance with High Hopes, by the way. I think it's I'll give you my grievance, and then you can feel free to clarify as needed. But I like, I think not playing Philadelphia Freedom after wins is such a missed opportunity. Like other cities do it. Like the Dodgers play I Love LA the second, and they're always on late night MLB Network or ESPN. And obviously they won the World Series this year.
Frank Sinatra, even when they,
regardless, which I think is dumb. You just hear it. It's I was at a Yankee game. I was to Yankee Stadium once. They're playing the Red Sox. They lost. It's played immediately after the final out, which I think is dumb.
But you almost get a you know, reinvented sense of pride as you're leaving the ballpark again.
You're like, great, you know, Yankees lost 9-3, but I'm still in New York, right?
Yeah.
Philadelphia Freedom, like, I think would be a very, and the Union, I know, have used it. It doesn't make any sense why, like, the song's been around forever. How did no one think to, like, the Dodgers play I Love LA. It's ingrained in my head every time they win. I'm trying to think of the Yankees obviously do it. There's got to be other, the Cubs, I mean, have Cubs,
Caroline,
go Cubs go.
In Boston.
That's not, yeah, that's not even,
it's
base.
Not the end,
that's,
but that's just, you know, the
middle of the eighth inning.
You can always expect it.
I feel like it's just a missed opportunity to not have that song. Like it, Philadelphia is in the song title and they just choose to neglect it, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. See, I agree with that. And you're right. I have tweeted about High Hopes before because it's not my favorite. I just don't really see it as a pump up song. You know, I almost think if they could switch it to a Red Sox type of thing where you play it in middle of the eighth or something like, you know, so High Hopes gets played every night, but then I think you just, because everyone loves Harry and you got to keep him there, but Philadelphia Freedom's a good one. I mean, that song's a bop. Imagine if that was playing when you were leaving the ballpark.
Oh my God. It would be electric down the stretch of the season. You're like, wow. You know, and if, when you hear the beginning of the song, like it sounds the type of song that would just play over like the speakers at the stadium, the second a final out's recorded. Mm-hmm. Like it kind of fits. Certain songs fit the bill, and I can't really explain what does and what doesn't, but that song fits. And I think it's a miss.
They used to play that. I don't know if they still do, but they used to play that song. It was mostly just a beat, but I feel like it would like repeat like celebrate or celebration or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. They had the Pitbull song.
Like, is that, I honestly, I didn't even know.
I think it's Pitbull, but it hasn't been out that long. So they've cycled through a few of them. They have improved like the lights that kind of go off with the bell when they went, like, that's kind of cool. I'll admit that.
Imagine the bell with Philadelphia Freedom playing.
It would be awesome.
And what a moment.
It would be a miss. It is currently a miss that they're not using it, because again, other cities do it. Other cities have notable, like, all, you know, all the good franchises, again, the Dodgers and the Yankees, these are the organizations you want to emulate, and it's what keeps them from truly achieving greatness, is they don't have Philadelphia Freedom blasting after the final out of wins.
Throw Elton John in there, and then maybe we can work on the bullpen and things like that.
First. Oh, absolutely. Like, everything will just follow after that. If you have that, like, maybe Hector Neris won't make it so interesting because he just wants to hear the song again.
He'll just throw straight strikes because he'll be too excited to get it playing.
Oh, that... Don't say straight, that thing's getting launched way
out.
You
never know.
No, you don't. He'll force a splitter a little too hard. It won't split. Hector Neris, when the split, like, there's not a pitcher in the history of baseball where you can tell if they come in, if they don't have it, you know, right away.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I feel like I knew faster than Kapler, faster than Girardi. I get they want to stick with them, but if that first batter's bad, like he just doesn't, you can't even do it anymore because you have to let him face three. You got to tell him.
I could have a grievance with that rule, honestly. I didn't even think about that because
that's like a Major League Baseball rule.
Exactly.
Which,
but that's a rough one, especially with our year.
I'll allow it if he's got a one bad batter, like he needs to go fake an injury or something because he's not getting through the inning.
Oh man.
All right. I believe we're on number five here. And again, if you have any additional ones with baseball or whatever else, feel free to fire away. But we only theoretically prepared five. So I'll go to you for what's possible your final grievance.
I know. And we have a lot of the same ones too. Let me see here.
That's why I had to get creative, because I figured, you know, anyone can sit here and complain. My final one, if you're still looking, by the way, was John Middleton. Guy's horrible owner. Hopefully, in terms of the Dombrowski hiring, like, it was a very John Middleton hire. he wants to win now. I get it. John Middleton acts like he's all cool and he's all serious about winning because he went and signed Bryce Harper. Hasn't done a damn thing to back up that he wants to get his effing trophy back since. He doesn't touch bullpen decisions. We know that. What caused him to say such a thing beyond me? I'm glad he didn't stick with Matt Klintak. He's basically getting paid to not have a title within the organization. Good for him.
Klintak's on my list.
That they can afford to do that during a pandemic. This new general manager, Sam Fold, like maybe he'll help out. Like Dombrowski said in his presser yesterday that he's going to help out with talking to teams. I get it, there's a lot to be done, but Dombrowski's going to be running the ship here. He's known for going all in, spending big money, which newsflash, John Middleton does not like to do, does not like to touch the luxury tax.
Just like with his track record of, you know, spending money and kind of, you know, pulling that farm system apart and getting rid of it to get what he wants, you would think he or Middleton would have had to kind of agree to something upon, you know, extending him that contract, right? Unless he's going to come in and, you know, completely go against
one would think, because there's no farm system to trade away.
Right.
And I guess there's going to be money to spend. Like, he's going to go all in on winning, which again, I get, like there's players in their prime right now and you got to keep Bryce happy and whatever. And I think him coming back increases the chances him being hired for this job and the Mets signing James McCann. I think people who have, you know, a bet on JT coming back to the Phillies goes way, way up. But am I convinced that, like, that can't just be it? Like, if they're going to take all their offseason money and be like, we're going to bring back the 30-year-old catcher and sign him for one too many years for one too many dollars, and we're still going to have a mediocre bullpen and Scott Kingery's going to play 162 games, like, screw JT at that point. Like, use that money somewhere else.
He's still going to be behind the plate rolling his eyes every time someone from the pen runs out.
Yeah, like that's not any good. And it's quite possible. I mean, I know we all love JT, that we've seen the best of JT just because catchers tend to break down around now. Like, if he's breaking down and the rest of the team is still mediocre and the bullpen still can't buy it out, like, that's no good. Like, they're going to be trending downward real fast.
Yeah. Easily could be, you know, the worst team in our division.
Yeah, not good when you just spent 5 years rebuilding to still be in last place because every other team committed and successfully rebuilded way better than you did.
Yeah.
All right. Do you have a fifth grievance for us?
Let's see here. I have a lot of the same things that we said. I also have the Marlins on my list.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Playing the Marlins, there's nothing more torturous. You know, everyone gets a little cocky when it's time to play the Marlins because you just kind of think of them as this team from a few years ago where you could just always, you know, get a win out from under them. And other teams can, but we can't.
No. Yeah. The Marlins have as many championships in franchise history as the Phillies do, which is kind of sad when you think about it. They, for the first time this year, lost the playoff series. They have now made the playoffs more recently than the Phillies. Again, they have just as many championships. Like, I don't know. Are the Phillies historically really a better organization than the Marlins are? One could argue they're worse. Like, we all make fun of the Marlins. They're supposed to be this meme. They can't beat them. Like, the schedule came out this year for a 60-game season. I forget what my tweet was, but I was like, look, Jake Arrieta is going to be pitching to save the season the second week into the year, and he's not going to go to buy it out in Miami. Like, that place is haunted for the Phillies, and they cannot do it. And that the Philly season ended the second that the season lined itself up so that they would have a 7-game series in Miami. That had trouble written all over it. It was going to be a backbreaker. I remember they had a 1-4.
Was that right after the National Series?
Yes, I think so. Because there obviously were multiple National Series. I think they played them once before and after it. That was really bad. They had a 1-4 game, and I'm hanging on. I'm like, look, they're still mathematically in it. They're still lingering around. But this is just awful baseball. They can't team can't hit, team can't pitch, team can't feel, like just all the wheels fall off. And perhaps it's because the Marlins had the advantage because there's no one in the ballpark. Usually there was no one there now. They felt right at home. But that, I mean, that place sucks. Like absolutely awful in every sense of the word. And I hate also watching games there. Like it's kind of got a weird mystique about it because no one goes there. But sometimes you get people with like the vuvuzelas, I guess it is. It's a really weird atmosphere.
The ballpark? I don't think I've ever noticed that.
Maybe they don't. I think they had them in the World Baseball Classic there. They have some kind of horns or noisemakers or something. And you can hear a pin drop in that place usually. And doesn't matter because the Phillies cannot win. Like, absolutely cannot. Just chalk them up as losses. They're going to have to find win somewhere else, which is not ideal when in a normal season you have to go there for 9 to 10 games a year.
Mm-hmm. Our most painful opponent.
Just absolutely brutal. I'm thinking if I have any other additional grievances that I've thought here over this period of time. I mean, the thorn in the side, all division teams, really, you could open it up to. I mean, they're going to get, again, if they don't, if they proceed with this offseason, don't really do anything major. And again, we don't know how Major League Baseball's offseason is going to proceed because all the owners are clinging to this pandemic thing. And as much as we like to make fun of it, it does affect some things. I just don't think it's a real viable excuse because everyone's dealing with it. Mm-hmm. Like if they come back with a similar team as last year, is there any sense of excitement that they're not, or like any sense of optimism, or is it just they're going to get tossed around in this division? Because that's going to be a grievance really fast.
I think if they come back with something very similar to what we saw this past year, even if you can have fans in the stands, I think, to be honest, they won't see many.
Yeah. Watch.
They'll be
I mean, what do you sell? Like the Bryce,
want to put their money towards it.
The Bryce honeymoon's over. I mean, that's a grievance that a lot of people have, you know, $20 for parking, $8 for a hot dog, $10 for a burger, like, you know, let's bring it down below movie theater prices. How about we do that? But that's just stadium food in general. That's not a specifically Citizens Bank Park thing. I will say, so a grievance, and I wasn't old enough to like appreciate the debate at the time. And I know they toyed around with the idea and there was actually some friction like with city residents. I don't know if you've ever been to the ballpark in Pittsburgh, PNC Park, but it's like,
I have.
Okay.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's absolutely beautiful. And I wish there was a layout in like the backdrop of that. Like we used to be like, or people always say like, oh, it's really cool. You can see the city at Citizens Bank Park. Like PNC, the background of PNC Park puts Citizens Bank Park's background like to absolute shame. It's perfect. You have a bridge, water.
Almost city, every ballpark.
Right there.
PNC's got to be top three ballparks in this country.
Oh, it's great. I've been to, I don't know what your personal count is. I think I've been to 9. That's if you include the Vet. So it's like it's a double dip in some senses because it's Philly's old stadium, Philly's new stadium. I've been to New Yankee, Citi Field, Fenway for the first time 2 years ago. Saw the Phillies there.
What did you think of Fenway?
I loved it, but I was only there one game. I had seats that weren't obstructed.
Okay,
but I did. Yeah, I did. The Phillies won, but it had a very unique vibe. I thought it was really cool. I feel like you either love or hate Fenway. Same thing with Wrigley.
Yeah, I haven't been to Wrigley yet. I've only, of course, the only time I was in Chicago, the Cubs were.
Yeah, playing the Phillies in Philly.
We're away against the White Sox.
Oh, against the White Sox. I thought there was, wasn't
so
there
I
an
totally
instance.
I totally missed that. Huh?
Wasn't there an instance where you were in a city and that team was playing the Phillies at home?
That was this year. So, of course, the whole schedule got rearranged.
Okay.
I can't remember what it was. I think it was Chicago again. I was supposed to be in Chicago at the beginning of June this year. And the Cubs were in Philadelphia.
Or supposed to be. Incredible time.
So, of course.
Yeah. So I've been there. AT&T Park. It's Oracle Park now. Incredible in San Francisco.
Ballpark top of my bucket list for me.
Yeah, that was really cool. So ironically, the most recent two most recent sporting events, most recent NBA game I've been to and most recent MLB game I've been to, neither had a Philly team playing in it. I was at, for the Mid-Atlantic Emmys, I was the end of the 2019 season. I saw the Pirates play the Reds on the final Friday of the season just because we were there, cross PNC off the list. So I had, that's the most recent baseball game I've been to because there were no games to go to this year. Mm-hmm. Most recent NBA game I've been to, again, another trip with like Temple Media, in my senior year, got the chance to go down to what was supposed to be the American Athletic Conference tournament for Temple basketball, was supposed to be in Dallas. The night before, I was at the Mavericks Nuggets game, which ended up being the final NBA game of the season outside of the bubble. We sat there for a quarter and a half with a canceled season. So the most recent NBA game I've been to was a Mavericks Nuggets game in Dallas. And the most recent restaurant I've eaten inside of was a Dallas, Texas In-N-Out burger. So all like things that are holding long-standing streaks here because of COVID that would not have imagined. And I'm going to enter 2021 with all those being the most it feels so weird. I haven't been to a baseball game in 15 months.
That'll wrap it up for this Festivus edition of the Locked On Phillies podcast. Coming up later this week, I'm going to have a Phillies town hall with some of my friends who are also avid Philadelphia Phillies fans. I'll introduce them and you'll get to know them throughout that episode. So you can stay tuned and look forward to that. That'll probably drop tomorrow, December 24th. So a little Christmas Eve, early Christmas gift for you all. A Phillies town hall likely will be a two-part episode. But again, I hope you enjoyed the Phillies airing of grievances. I'm sure you share many of them. And if you have any different ones, I would love to hear what those are. Again, that'll do it for today's episode of the Locked On Phillies podcast. I'll talk to you later this week.